list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all and make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So, Susan, I'd like to hear what your experience is with those steps.
Hi there. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Susan Twining. This is the last of the steps that we take that really change our lives. And this is the last of the steps that I know people are really afraid of. Because nobody likes to go out and admit to people that they did something wrong to them. And they don't know how to go about it. And I find that I do, people come to me more often with questions about this step than any of the others, really. Because they don't know how to go to people and make amends. And they don't know what an amend is. And it's not I'm sorry. I can't just go to somebody and say I'm sorry, because how many times did I go to somebody and say I'm sorry and then go out and do it again? I did it 1,000 times and it's meaningless anymore. But steps 8 and 9, it's reading on page 76 to 84 in the big book. And the list that we make up to go do our ninth step is made out of a four-step inventory. That's why we don't throw it away. That's why we don't burn it. You're going to make it directly from that four-step inventory. My sponsor told me to make it into 3 lists. Those people that I can rush out right now and I can make those amends to today. And those people were very familiar to me. It was my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my grandparents. And then there was that list of people that I can probably go to them at some point in time shortly and make amends to them. And then there was that list of people that I'm never, ever going to be able to go and make amends to. Either they're deceased, I don't know where they are, or it would cause harm to them or me. Those people went on the third list. I had those people divided into those lists, and my sponsor and I sat down and we discussed each and every one of them and how I'm going to make amends to them. With my father, I owed him money. My dad used to take a $20 bill out of his wallet every morning and stick it in his pocket, and he would stop on the way and he would get himself a donut and a coffee, and he would use that $20 bill to pay for it. At lunchtime, he would go out and get lunch, and he would use the change from that $20 bill to pay for his lunch. And then when he got home from work that night, whatever change was left from that $20 bill from the day, he would put it in a dish on his dresser. And my mother was supposed to give my sister and I lunch money out of that. And then she was supposed to put the rest of this change in a penny barrel. Well, very rarely was there much money left in that dish, because I would go in and take what I thought I deserved out of that dish. And I did that for a long time. So I owed my father a lot of money. I don't know how much I owed him. And I told him, when I went and made amends to him, and I said, I stole a lot of money from you out of that dish. And I owe you money. He said, I don't care about the money. I don't want the money. And I went back to my sponsor and I said, he's not going to let me pay him back the money. She says, give him money. So I would hand him money. I would hand him bills. Because I was working and I was making money, and he would hand me the money back. So I would stick it in his wallet, and he would take it out and he would stick it in my purse. And so I would hide it in his car, and I would come home. I would get to home from his house, and I'd find it in my glove box. And it was getting ridiculous. So we came up with a plan, and this is the plan we came up with, because I had to repay him somehow. Every Saturday for weeks, I'm going to say probably a good couple, 3 years, I would go to his house, and I would do his laundry. I would mop his floors. I would cook meals for him throughout the week, so all he had to do was heat it up. I would mow his grass. I would weed his garden. I did chores for him every single Saturday for a couple, 3 years. To repay him. And he would say, you don't have to do this. And I'd say, I want to. That is how I did my amend to my father, because he would not accept the money that I owed him. I needed to make an amend to my mother. Part of the amend to my mother was, 6 months after I got sober, my mother was in a DUI accident. And I was able to bring people from the fellowship to my mother to help my mother get sober. And my mother got sober at that time, and we were able to make amends to each other. Like, I was able to pay for her to go to retreats and conferences when she had no money. And my mother was able to make amends to me because she paid for me to go to retreats and conferences when I had no money. It was a back and forth. We made amends to each other over the years. My mother died with 24 years of sobriety in the fellowship. We were able to make amends to each other. My final amend of my mother was making sure that when she died, she did it with dignity. I went to my sister. I went to my sister and I made my amend, and my sister basically spit in my face. She would not accept it. I went to my sponsor and she says, "You've cleaned up your side of the street." It wasn't money that I owed her. It wasn't a material thing that I could replace. It was my behavior. I trashed her wedding. My behavior trashed her wedding. There was nothing I could do other than change my behavior. I did that. When my nephew was born, what I did was, she and her husband had very little money. I went and bought diapers and wipes and formula, and I took it to their house. She never said thank you. She took it. She never said thank you. I did it every week. I'd get my paycheck. I would go and buy what that baby needed, and I would take it to her. When my niece was born, I did the same thing. My sister and I did not speak willingly to each other for about 35 years. About 8 years ago, on a Sunday morning, July the 11th, I get a phone call. It's my niece, and she's crying. "You gotta help mommy." My niece, leaving church, had backed into a pickup truck, exchanged information, pulled out of the church, almost T-boned somebody, wound up missing that accident, pulled into two parked cars, totaled both of those and her own car, and was arrested for a DUI accident with a blood alcohol of 0.038, leaving church. I said, "Put your mother on the phone." She got on the phone and I said, "Do you want to stop drinking?" And she says, "I can't do this anymore." She said, "I can't hide it anymore." I said, "Do you want to stop drinking? That's my question." She said, "Yes." I made some phone calls. I got her into White Deer Run. My sister went to White Deer Run. She's been sober ever since. She just celebrated 9 years of sobriety. We talk every week now. The reason why she wouldn't accept my amend is she was afraid I would know about her drinking. And she told me that when she made her amend to me. What my sponsor had told me to do was, "You cleaned up your side of the street, now you just keep living your life, and at some point in time, it will become obvious to you why she will not accept her amend," and it became obvious. I kept doing what I was doing. I have a wonderful relationship with my niece and nephew. She never stopped me from seeing them. I cleaned up my side of the street. I did what I was supposed to do. You don't always get the reaction from the person that is positive, but you clean up your side of the street. But I have paid back the money. I have paid back time. I have paid back services. I replaced a vehicle. Someone's vehicle that I wrecked, I actually wound up buying a vehicle and returning it to the person whose car I wrecked. I was about 10 years sober before I could do that, but I did replace their vehicle. It was a little junky piece of car, just like the one I wrecked, but I replaced their vehicle. And the guy thought it was hilarious, but he got a piece of junk car back. But I had told him, after I got sober, "I will replace that car." And he said, "Nothing better than what you wrecked, honey." And I said, it'll definitely be nothing better than what I wrecked. And that's exactly what I did. I replaced it with nothing better than I wrecked. But I was a man. I was a woman of honor, and I had repaid back. I got to go to my high school reunion, my 40th high school reunion. I had not been to a single reunion. I disappeared and went onto the lost list. The best part about that is my stepsister was on the committee to find people and knew exactly where I was for 40 years. And every year she would say to me when she was doing the list, "Do you want to come off the lost list yet?" And I finally told her for the 40th, I said, "Sure, I'll come off the lost list." And I went to my 40th reunion. And I got to make amends to some people that I went to high school with. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I had such a great time watching them still be exactly like they were in high school. Our Saturday night big party was at a winery. They used up all their wine tickets, and then the guys all went out to their pickup trucks and got their coolers of beer and brought them in. And I'm thinking, we are no better off than we were 40 years ago. We're still doing the same things. And I'm giving away my wine tickets, and they're going, are you sure you want to do this? I'm fine with water, thanks. And I'm watching them behave no differently, and they're wondering why their lives aren't any better. But I got to make amends to those people that for things that I had done, and they were all like, oh, don't worry about it, I forgot all about it. Well, I'm not worried about it, but now that I've been able to say I'm sorry to you, and I've been able to make up for what I did to you, I feel better. And you know, I walked away from there knowing that that was the last of the amends that I know I have to make. I don't think there's anybody else that I have to make amends to. I think I'm finally done. But somebody else could pop up somewhere. But let's see. There are 16 promises associated with steps 8 and 9. And my favorite one is, rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress, on page 78. And the 8th step prayer is, higher power, I ask for your help in making my list of all those who I have harmed. I will take responsibility for my mistakes and be forgiving to me. Grant me the willingness to begin my restitution. This I pray. And the 9th step prayer is, higher power, I pray for the right attitude to make my amends, being ever mindful not to harm others in the process. I ask for your guidance in making indirect amends. Most important, I will continue to make amends by staying abstinent, helping others, and growing in spiritual progress. The only other thing I really want to talk about is those amends to those that have gone before us. And I've kind of got this one down with the girls that I sponsor. We go to one of two places. We will go to a cemetery. If it's a family member of theirs and they're buried close by, we will go to that their gravesite. We will go down to Shades Beach or to the peninsula, or we've gone down to the Freeport Beach. We'll pick a beach. And I have them write a letter to the person that they're making amends to that has passed before us. And I will have them read it. They can read it to themselves. They can read it out loud. Most of the time, they choose to read it out loud. Once they're finished reading their letters, because a lot of times they have more than one, they read their letters, and when we're sitting at the beach, I have them close their eyes, and I usually pick a spot where you can hear the water lapping up on rocks or onto the shore, and I tell them to close their eyes, and I just very calmly, in a monotone, I tell them to picture the water lapping up onto the shore. And when it's carrying the water back out, that it's carrying their hurt and their pain and their worry out into the deep water. And that it's carrying it out so that their hurt and their pain can go to God and carry it away. And I just keep this up for about 10-15 minutes, just very monotone. And I'm going to tell you, the last probably 20 people I've done this with have opened their eyes and looked at me and said, I really feel like the person that I made that amend to has felt it and heard it and forgives me, and God forgives me. It's a very powerful feeling. I'm trying to get them to understand God has already forgiven them, and when that person died, they already forgave them. They have to forgive themselves. That's the biggest thing we're trying to do, forgiveness of self. But that visual and that sound of that water lapping on the rocks, it's very helpful. Most of the girls have gone home and burned those letters that they wrote to people. So Some of them have held on to the letters and kept them, put them in their God box. I tell them that they get to do with those letters however they see fit. I don't tell them what to do with them. I don't make them perform in a certain way with it. I like to see them take care of it as they see fit. I got told by a sponsor once I had to burn something that I had written that I felt very powerful about and wanted to keep, and she stood there and watched me burn it, and I felt really bad after I had done it. I really wanted to keep that. So I don't tell my girls what to do with them. I tell them that they can do with it. They can burn it, they can save it, they can put it in their God box, they can press it in their Bible. It doesn't matter. It's not on me. This is their amend. This is their experience, not mine. I don't get to be judge and jury. I don't want to be judge and jury. But 8 and 9 are, to me, the last of those steps that are really hard. As everybody sees, is really hard. I think we need to simplify it. I like to see all the steps simplified. I think we complicate them way more than they need to be complicated. We can complicate any of the steps. We're very simple people that complicate the devil out of everything. I don't think 8 and 9 are any more complicated than any of the others, but we're so afraid of going to somebody and saying, I did this to you, and I feel I need to make it right, and I owe you money, I need to pay, this is what I owe you, I need to repay you, I stole your car and I wrecked it, how can I make this right? That's a hard thing to do. And I understand it's a hard thing to do, but most people are going to react positively when you say, this is why I'm doing it. And in order to stay sober, I need to do this and I need to make this right. Most people are going to understand. Most people are going to understand. I've not, like I said, the only person that ever shut me out was my sister. But there was a reason behind why she shut me out. So, but I've pretty much shared everything I have to share on it, so I'm going to hush up now.
Thank you, Susan. All right, I won't get that close. We appreciate your sharing your experience with us. Who would like to ask a question of Susan? If you're here in the room, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll get you the microphone. If you're on Zoom, feel free to unmute yourself and speak up when you have the opportunity. Who wants to get us started?
I'll start us. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Susan, so much for your sharing tonight. And the one question that I have is, what do you do with a sponsee who resists making amends to someone that they owe amends to because their resentment is still so big?
I tell them that we resist making the amend, that that could lead them to getting drunk, and that they make that choice not to make that amend, they're taking a very large chance with their sobriety. I can't force them to make the amend, but I make sure I impress upon them how much danger they're putting their sobriety in.
Thanks. Have you had anyone that still resists and won't make an amend?
I have told them that they may have to look for sponsorship in another place. Unfortunately, I've had to do that. Thank you.
Hi, Jim, alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
And thanks, Susan, for another great night of AA. So, some amends, at least in my case, have come up just by randomly running into someone wherever and stopping to chat for a little bit, and something pops into my head that I remember. And so the amends just kind of goes that way and very informal. Others that are on a more serious level. Do you suggest, or have you suggested, that your sponsees kind of like make an appointment with the person, alert them, let them know that you need to get together with them, maybe a little bit of a heads up even to kind of be prepared and not just go to that heavy amends and just dump it on them?
What I usually tell them to do, like, because I've had people, like, I call it like people hopping out of manholes and dropping out of light fixtures in front of me until I make the amend. God just keeps putting them in my path. And what I have done is said to them, look, you know, I'd really like to go have a cup of coffee with you, and because there's something I obviously need to talk to you about. And left it, just not like make a heavy appointment, but obviously, you know, God's putting them in my path for a reason. I don't just do them by, like, surprise, surprise, here's an amend for you. But I set up an appointment, and I recommend that my girls do it that way, because I just recently had one of my girls come to me and say, this person that I owe an amend to just keeps hopping, every time I turn around, I'm in Walmart, they're there, I'm in Dollar General, they're there. I stopped in a McDonald's the other day, they were there, and I'm like, I think God's putting them in your path, because you really need to make this amend now, sooner rather than later. And so she made an appointment with them, they met down at the beach, she made the amend, and she hasn't seen the person since. So, I mean, I just say, like, what, could we meet for a cup of coffee? Or can we meet for an ice cream? You know, something, just to meet, sit down, have a conversation. It just has to be a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Who else has a question for Susan?
Thank you, Susan. I'm Brenda Alcoholic. So, this is kind of complicated for me, but a long time ago, probably 15 years ago, I would say, I wrote an amend to my brother. And the reason I had to write it is because we don't talk, because of some legal things that happen, okay? I never found out if he ever got that. And it's bothering me that maybe he doesn't live that far from me, even though we don't have a connect. If I see him in Walmart, say hello. But I've never found out if he got that. He wouldn't even come to my mother's funeral because there's so much stuff going on. So I feel like I probably should stop and see him or call him. I have that weighing on me because I don't know the answer, but I'm nosy and it's like, what did you get my, you know? I don't want to go there. But it really bothers me to think that maybe he didn't get it. There's no return address on it. Maybe he actually didn't get it. And I feel like, maybe I'm missing an opportunity to acknowledge the fact that I said that and tell him my role in a lot of things. Mostly the role was his. Mine was short and small, but needed to be said. So what's your opinion on that?
Have you thought about asking him the question, I sent you a letter, did you receive it?
Nope, never thought of that. That's a good
idea. That would really be the opening question, and if he says no, I never received a letter from you.
Oh, good idea.
That would be the opening question.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in years. I would actually have to make the effort to call, which I don't have a problem with. I never did ask him that, so that answers my question. Thank you very much.
I mean, that's the way I would start, you know, and if he refuses to answer the question, then, you know, I mean, but that's the start. Like, the simplest question is usually the best place to start, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, I'm not afraid to do that, but I don't want to make the wrong move. Sometimes no move is worse than a wrong move.
Yeah, but sometimes no move is the wrong move.
Right.
Especially with family.
Yes. Thank you. That helps a lot.
Hi, my name is Lynn, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lynn.
I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on where you, not draw the line, but what you see as the difference between reaching out and making an amend to someone. I mean, you were giving very glaring examples of, you know, theft, hitting a car. I mean, that's where you've hurt the other person and you feel bad about it. It was a result of your behavior, and you want to apologize. You want to make an amend. There's that category, but then there's lots of gray categories. And then in my mind, you slip into the area where I am wanting to talk to that person because I remember a time where I was so idiotic in my behavior. I'm so embarrassed when I think back on my behavior with this person. And, you know, when I think about that, it's really more selfish. I'm not making an amend to unconditionally give apology to you. There's really more of a selfish motive in that because I feel, you know, disgraced and humbled, and I want to express that. So I'm wondering, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on the difference between those two.
The kind of amends that I made to the people I went to school with are those kind of amends. Because I didn't steal from them, they stopped inviting me to any of the parties in high school because my behavior was so outrageous, okay? They didn't tell me where the cookouts were anymore. They didn't tell me when they were getting together anymore because literally I was outrageous, totally over the top outrageous. So like my senior year, they didn't invite me anywhere. So my amend to at my high school reunion was more of the amend was my behavior was so outrageous, and you know I wanted to apologize to them for my outrageous behavior and how I harmed them, not physically but emotionally. So it was that kind of an amend. And then now, I mean, there's 18 of us left out of 54 in my graduating class. And they all, the rest of them pretty much still drink the way we drank in high school. We all drank that way, but I was the most outrageous of everyone. I'm so proud of that. But I was going over, like, they had a table set up with everybody from our senior class that's died. And literally, accident. Three of them died graduation day from a DUI accident. Okay? But when those people that I went up to, and I was apologizing to them for my outrageous behavior and treating them badly when I was drunk. And what I told them was, I have not had a drink now in 40 years, and you know that I don't act that way any longer, and my behavior has completely changed. And the biggest compliment I got from all of them was, you're nothing like you used to be. That was the biggest compliment I got. I've changed so much, none of them would have recognized me today. So yeah, there's a difference, but it's still an amend to apologize for your behavior.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else have a question for Susan?
Hi, Patty. I just got the tail end of your share, but I thank you for that. So, in your simple terms, the reason and result of step 9, what is your definition in simple terms?
Okay, yes, you got to repeat it. I'm having trouble hearing.
The reason and result for doing step 9.
The result for doing step 9 is because I harmed someone during my years of drinking.
And the result for walking through that?
The result is freedom from bondage yourself.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Colleen.
Colleen, alcoholic. What you talked about tonight about when you were making amends to people that had passed on really touched me tonight. And I didn't realize how much I still have that hanging over me that I could pick up again because of that reason. And I really appreciate you offering that suggestion tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
Oh, yeah, I have to have at least one.
You've got to have at least one.
I work off the clock, so. Thanks again for doing this. This is really nice. I wanted to give a shout-out to everybody. Today is Bruce's 13th sober anniversary, so let's give him a hand.
He's a teenager.
He's a teenager, so look out. Teenage boy on the loose.
May he not be as bad as he was the first 10 years.
I know he won't.
I have two words for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My question to you is, you talked about making living amends, and I kind of understand, like, you know, you change your behavior and you do that, and you do that anonymously. Maybe you could share some of your experience. You shared one experience with your classmates, and they said, you're nothing like you used to be. Was there one in particular in your 40 years of sobriety that kind of stuck out and went, huh, made your soul smile?
Well, you put me on the spot on that one. What living amends to me is... Part of what I do is living amends today, okay? I'll just go with that one. I go to House of Healing. I go to Community House. I go to Gage House. I pick up people from those houses. I take them to meetings. I go into the houses and work with the girls, walking them through the steps. I'm not really sponsoring many of them per se, but I still walk them through the steps. When they go home, I help get them hooked up with people in their hometowns by contacting intergroup in their area. I get them hooked up with people to get them to meetings when they get home. To me, those are living amends because somebody did that for me. When I left White Deer Run and I went home, they had me hooked up with people. And I didn't have to walk it alone. And to me, that's a living amend that I'm making because I used to just be like, you know, I'm in this for myself and I don't care about anybody else. So me making sure that young ladies in sobriety, and I mean by young in sobriety, not like young as an age, but people new in sobriety are getting what they need to have the contact on a daily basis they need to have success in sobriety. That's a living amend to me. Driving, I used to leave work at 26th and Peach, drive home to Wesleyville, leave home after I eat something, I change my clothes and ate something, drive back over to 25th and Peach, pick up girls from House of Healing, drive to Wesleyville for the meeting. After the meeting, I'd drive back over and drop them off and then drive home to Wesleyville. And I never thought twice about it. And somebody said, you're burning a lot of gas. I said, yeah, but those girls need a meeting. And I didn't think twice about it. It just never occurred to me that I could have done it differently. I was doing what I do. Because you know what? Somebody back in the day when I was early in sobriety used to leave their house and drive across town and pick me up and take me to a meeting and then drive across town to take me home. And then they drove back across town to take themselves home. And they didn't think twice about it. They used to take me out to dinner and say, and I'd say, well, I owe you for this dinner. And they said, no, someday pay it forward. They used to ask me out for ice cream. And I'd say, I don't have any money. And they'd say, I didn't ask if you had any money.
On ice cream.
You know, I just asked you for ice cream, you know. So to me, that's paying it forward. And that's a living amend that I can make. Because it's a totally different behavior than I ever used to have. I used to be selfish and self-centered and I was all in it for me. And today, it's all about somebody else.
So when somebody that you're sponsoring has, you know, I don't know how I can possibly do all this back, do you suggest, like, Why don't you be of service?
My girls know. Like, we'll be sitting at the club for a meeting, and they'll say, we need volunteers to wipe down the tables and take back the coffee pot and everything, and can we have a show of hands? And they see me going like this, I'd better see their hands up. They know better than to not have their hands up. Okay, at the beginners meeting on Saturday, we asked for a show of hands of people that are willing to sponsor. Every one of my girls that's allowed to sponsor better have their hand up. And they know that. Because you're not, if I'm sponsoring you, you're going to do service work. You're going to. It's just, it's not an option. I'm a mean sponsor.
That's why I like you. It validates me.
I like mean sponsors.
So, Susan, I have a question from the human point of view. I know an amends is supposed to make me feel better because I've done the right thing. I'm going to ask you honestly, because I have somebody in mind that I need to make an amends to one of these days when I get to it, when I feel like it. Okay. Did you ever get to the point where you actually thought to yourself, you made the amend, you meant it, but did you ever leave thinking, I wish I could take it back? I mean, I don't mince words, but I'm telling you, I could picture.
No.
Okay. I need more work.
No, I can't say I've ever wished I could take it back. Because I'm doing it, when you're doing the amend, it's for the right reason. It's because you're cleaning up your side of the street. Their reaction has nothing to do with it. You are cleaning up your side of the street. Pure motives. What's your motive? Check your motives. Sorry.
Any other questions for Susan?
Amy, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. So you had one amends that wasn't accepted from your sister. And I know that you had to talk to her like when your mom died, but did you periodically reach out to her like throughout her not speaking to you, or did you just kind of wait for her to come around? And would you tell your sponsees after having that experience to do the same thing or something different?
I did not periodically reach out to her unless there was a family reason. Like, I would call her if something happened to one of my kids and I needed to let her know. No, I didn't periodically reach out to her. I probably should have, but I wasn't playing the I'm going to ignore you game. I would call my nephew and my niece. I wasn't going to play the game. What would I advise one of my sponsees? To probably tell her, I would send her a Christmas card every year. I send her a birthday card every year. I didn't get anything in return. But I kept the high road. I kept saying, well, I sent her a Christmas card. I sent her a birthday card. And I was playing the whole high and mighty about it. I'm being honest here. But I would advise my sponsees to at least send a card for the birthday, for the Christmas, for whatever. Keep in contact with the nieces and nephews. Don't let the connection die. Because you will regret that. I mean, I really regretted those years when my sister and I didn't talk, because it was hard not having that. But I knew, I didn't know what her purpose was in not speaking to me. I didn't know exactly. I had cleaned up my side of the street, and I didn't understand why she wouldn't accept it. It took her getting arrested to know what her reasoning was, so... But no, I would advise the people that I sponsor to do what I did, you know, to try and keep the connection open with cards and occasional phone call. But I'm not going to get beat down either. I don't deserve to be treated badly either. So, answer your question? Okay.
Any last questions?
Hey, Patty, I have another question. Your sponsees, have they attempted to do amends without your direction?
Some have. And sometimes it works out well, and sometimes it doesn't. Where it doesn't work out well is when they try to do it too early, before they know exactly why they're making amends. You know, we don't do amends until we've worked 5, 6, 7, and 8. You know, 5, 6, and 7. So if you're trying to make amends and you're only on step 2, you're really going to make some lousy mistakes. So you don't do amends until we're actually at that step. And by the time I've had them read everything on 8 and 9, and I say you can start making amends, they're ready to do amends, and I sit down with them and explain what an amend is. I don't just set them loose without explaining what an amend is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Susan, thank you.
Thank you.